listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. If you have any comments or questions or concerns, feel free to contact KZUU at 335-2207 or email gm at kzuu.org. The high school equivalency program at WSU welcomes volunteers to participate as tutors for adult GED. Fluent Spanish speakers are especially needed. This is a wonderful opportunity to acquire teaching experience. Contact Priscilla at 335-5652 or go to Cleveland Hall, room 21 through 23 for more information. Volunteers wanted. The Women's Transit is looking for drivers and dispatch volunteers. All volunteers will receive hands-on training. Cars, gas, and insurance are provided. Receive academic credit while giving back to the community. To sign up, come by the Women's Resource Center at Wilson Hall, room 8, or call 335-6849. KZUU DJs. Republic Service announcements like what you just heard every hour. If your club or nonprofit organization wants us to read a PSA about you, come by our office in room 126 in Smith Gym or fill out a form online located under the staff button and email it to psa@kzuu.org. You're not mistaken. You are listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here.
Yeah, you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot.
Yeah. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out.
Did you see the memo about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the memo right here. I just, forgot. But, it's not shipping out till tomorrow, so there's no problem.
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great. And, I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo. Okay?
Yeah, no, I have the memo. I've got it. It's right.
Hello, Phil.
What's happening?
I couldn't find it yet.
Pullman High School presents Students Directed. One Act Plays. How About Murder? The Prisoner and the Spy. And Murder in the Mansion will be performed February 8th, 9th, 10th, 14th, 15th, and 17th at Pullman High School Theater. House opens at 7, and the show starts at 7:30. For more information, contact Brett Nice at 509-301-3016. Once again, 509-301-3016. WSU Intramural Sports Indoor Tennis Tournament. Sign-ups are February 6th through the 21st. Play starts February 23rd. It's $3 for singles, $5 for doubles. The All-Campus Challenge and Wellness Fair, February 22nd. It's free. Northwest Regional Basketball Tournament. Early entry is January 16th through February 22nd. Late entry is February 23rd through the 27th. Play starts on March 3rd. Early registration is $210 a team. Late registration, $240 a team. 4-on-4 Volleyball League. Sign-ups are February 27th and 28th. Play begins March 4th. It's $25 per team. And the campus on the run, 5K. Early registration, February 5th through March 9th. Late registration, March 10th through March 16th. The run is on March 24th. And the early registration is $12 for students, $15 for non-students, and the late registration is $17 for students and $20 for non-students. And most importantly, the most important sport of the intramural season, softball. Sign-ups are actually March 21st, 22nd. Play begins March 25th. It's $35 for a men's team and $25 for a women's team or a co-ed team. So there's your intramural update. So you'll probably be wondering what we're going to talk about today. We should have Jerry Lima from the Palouse Thunder on the show. I've been promising that now for about 2 weeks. And I think I mean it this time. I really do. We've had a couple communication issues between Jerry and I for the last couple weeks. But this is going to be the week, I think. Should be at 1 o'clock. We'll see how that goes. We might be having a person from a group in Chelan that is opposing the small town Chelan group, which essentially is a pro versus anti Walmart group. One group, Tom Forbes had talked about last week, I think last week on the show, pretty much they started a lawsuit to stop the Walmart from getting opened in Chelan. I guess there were some issues with the building permits, and the group sued to stop the opening. As a matter of fact, they were trying to get the building torn down. So the judge said, no, we'll go ahead and let the building open, or let the store open until you know, everything's settled. But this group that believes that Walmart will ruin Chelan. I mean, they're just going to ruin it, right? I mean, it's going to just destroy this place, right? They believe that Walmart is going to be the worst thing to ever come to this town. I don't know how much I can stress how much it's going to ruin this little town. Oh, but you pay them $5 million, they'll go away. So, as we talked about, it's you know, the 19, or, well, I guess the 2000s version of extortion. Sue people a whole bunch and say, okay, we'll stop suing you when you pay us a lot of money. And in this case, it'd be $5 million plus 10% of their taxes for the next 10 years or something like that. It's ridiculous. It's pure and simple. It's pure and simple extortion. But for some reason, like I said, this is legal extortion.
Are you any relation to the pop singer?
No, it's just a coincidence.
I'll be honest with you. I love his music. I do. I'm a Michael Bolton fan. For my money, I don't know if it gets any better than when he sings "When a Man Loves a Woman."
Don't know where that came from, but we'll try to keep that off the air. No, I'm kidding. I played that. I'll admit it. So I'm a little on the loopy side today. I'm sorry about that. I spent all of last night almost up. And actually, I don't know how I should approach this subject. Actually, there's a lot of subjects that really were weighing heavily last night, and some of them that are weighing heavily today. And I'm not really sure. Some of them are a little bit less personal in nature than others, but there is one that I could probably discuss. And there's a second that maybe I could discuss, and there's a third that I'm definitely not going to bring up. And now that I've told you, it's funny, I've done this once before where I sort of alluded to something for a while, then I said I ain't going there. And they're like, you can't do that. You just can't do that. That's not right. You know, because it's just not something that you're supposed to do, I guess. Tell somebody a whole bunch of information and just not give them, you know, any input on when you're doing the radio show, all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, sorry about that. I did spend last night up. I was working and I kept on getting called out and called out and called out and called out. And while I wasn't actually getting called out, I was actually at home trying to get some stuff done for work as well. And so I had planned on going to bed, you know, sometime around midnight, which would be sort of actually early for me. But instead, I was working on this project, and I really needed to get it done because I'm supposed to be leaving town for a couple days, and I needed to get it done before I left. And so I was going to stay up late and work on it, realizing that I'm going to be dragging today if I did, but that's all right because, you know, I got to get up early for the show. It is noon after all. And, you know, Mondays are pretty rough because I got to get up early and I actually have a deadline and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, there I am. I'm working on this project. And like about every hour and a half, I was getting called away. And before I know it, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm still not even close to being done. So I keep working, and I get called again. It was about 4 in the morning. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So after that, I finally get home, and it's about 5. And I'm like, okay, I definitely need to go to bed because, you know, I'm going to be getting up in about 4 hours now. So I'm gonna get myself about 4 hours of sleep. And I think I got to sleep. I'm pretty sure I got to sleep. I don't really recall, but I do remember being woken up by a call and having to deal with that. Luckily, it was a very short one, but still, the roads were pretty icy. We were having some people driving a little bit too fast, probably a little bit faster than they should have. It might have been sneaking up on them. The ice was sort of it was one of those things where it was like I don't think people were expecting it, and it was sneaking up on them on the corners and stuff, and they're going a little bit too fast. So anyway, so finally I get home and I finally get to bed, and it's a little after 6, and I'm like, thank you. So I tried to get as much sleep as I could. It wasn't very good. It wasn't very sound sleep, and I struggled to get out of bed this morning, as if you can imagine. So, unfortunately, a couple of the things that I was hoping to have ready to go and laid out for the show today are not laid out and ready to go, but I do have it in my mind. I do have as scary as that is to hear, I have it in my mind of what I want to say. The problem, though, is the way my mind is working right now, it might not come out correctly. So just bear with me. We'll have some fun with this. Maybe you can laugh a little bit at my expense. Earlier, you were hearing a song that was not The Reverend, the favorite of the PES, The Reverend, Reverend Horton Heat. See, there I go. I knew it was The Reverend, but I didn't do it right, so I had to do it again. See that? So you're with me now. You understand what's going on. That was The Reverend. That wasn't The Reverend, but it should have been The Reverend, or at least that's what you're thinking. So that was a group called Oddfoss. I've actually played one of their songs before on the show. It's actually one of the songs I really like. It's called Ride on a Sunny Day. As a matter of fact, I can play a little bit of it as we talk, just so you can hear what I'm talking about. Cause it's actually sort of a fun song. To me, it's a song where it's like a replay of the rabbit versus turtle race, where the turtle was slow and steady, and the rabbit, you know, lost the race because of the way it was. But it's so fun. It's a fast song.
Once upon a time, there was a rat and a turtle.
But this way, it's a rat and not a rabbit. But that's all right. And then just the hot sweet apple goo. You gotta love that part. Hot, sweet apple goo. It's just a fun song. It's really upbeat. You can really get going to it. Probably be a fun song to maybe run a couple laps to.
Anticipation.
Sunny Day. Now, if that's just not a fun little song, it's really upbeat, really fun. It's one of those ones that's just it can cheer anybody up on a gloomy day, and maybe that's what I need today. The Reverend. You're asking for it. I know you want the Reverend. I might play him for you though. You never know.
Well, I told Bill that if Sandra's going to listen to her headphones while she's calling, then I should be able to listen to the radio while I'm collating. Uh-huh. So I don't see why I should have to turn down the radio because
All right.
I enjoy listening at a reasonable volume.
Thanks.
From 9 to 11.
Well, I wish my show was 9 to 11 that I could say that Milton is one of my listeners, but he's not. Or my show's not. It's now noon to 2, which is okay because that allows me to sleep that much more every day, or every Monday at least. So this is just a pet peeve of mine, and I'm not speaking for anybody else other than just me. And that is to say that you've heard no doubt about the idea of a drive-by shooting. You know, where somebody drives by and they start shooting their gun and people get hurt and or killed. Well, it's not a fun situation. It's not a cool thing. You don't want to do drive-by shootings. Those not only get you in trouble, but they hurt people, and that's not very nice. So, rather than doing a drive-by shooting, listening to the Odd Foss Ride on a Sunny Day, it might make you feel better. But anyway, so you have a concept of what a drive-by shooting is. But the thing is, there's this new phenomenon, and I call it a drive-by cell phoning. It's sort of the same thing as far as you drive by doing an activity that you used to do stationary. You know, people usually shoot guns from a stationary position, you know, unless you're in the military or whatever. But the average Joe, he's out there, you know, out there plinking in the backyard or whatever with his BB gun, or maybe he's out of the target range or something like that. But the point is, he's stationary. And, you know, people always used to talk on their phones. Maybe they'd be walking, but, you know, they're just hanging around, talking on the phone, blah, blah, blah. Well, now you have this situation where they're driving. They drive by. So you get this drive-by cell phoning. And the reason why it's such a problem is people call in stuff, and they don't know exactly what the whole situation is. So they give a minimal amount of information. And, of course, until you know otherwise, you have to act like it is you have to act like it is an emergency situation until otherwise, you know, confirmed. So you have a situation where, say, somebody drives by a car that's on the side of the road. They don't know why the car's on the side of the road. Rather than stopping to find out if they are concerned, they'll just keep driving. They'll call in and they'll say, yeah, there's this car on the side of the road. So then you look into it a little bit more. The dispatcher then says, oh, geez, well, and they get as much information as they can. Well, if they can't determine what's going on, guess what? They send out a couple fire departments or whatever nearby. So you get all these people who are getting taken out of service of their area in order to check on this situation that, you know, maybe a good Samaritan was like, oh, yeah, I'll call it in for them. But to me, I appreciate that people are willing to help a little bit, but it would be nice if you stopped even for a second and say, hey, I got a cell phone. Do you need me to call for an ambulance? Or is there anybody hurt? And then keep going if you really need to, or say, okay, I'll call it in or whatever. But the problem is that you get dispatched out to these calls where somebody is not hurt, where there's not even an accident. I've been on one where a car was parked on the side of the road. and somebody drove by and they call it in, and it comes, you know, it comes into an accident. So you get in ambulances and rescue vehicles and, you know, rural fire trucks and everything running out to the scene to find a car parked on the side of the road. It's that kind of thing. Or you see a car accident, it looks pretty bad, but rather than stopping to see if there's any injuries, you just keep driving. So the dispatcher doesn't know, do we need to send three or four ambulances because it's a lot of people injured, or is it only one person injured, or does it look really bad and the person's actually standing outside of the vehicle? Because then you have a situation, if it looks really bad and you tell the dispatcher that, they might make us go really fast to go to the call, and if it's not an injury call and we're going fast and we get in a car accident on the way there, we've hurt other people in order to get to a scene where there was nobody injured to begin with. So having a little bit of information can make it safer for everybody around, because the people coming in will come in at an appropriate rate. If there's no injuries at all and we just need to check them out, we'll just cruise in slowly. If there's somebody who's lingering and in right near death, would come in faster. There's if we knew there was like four patients, we might have additional ambulances started right away rather than waiting the additional, say, 5 to 10 minutes before we get on scene in order to say, oh geez, we need more ambulances, and now they're another 5 or 10 minutes back. It just helps the whole situation. So once again, this is just my little pet peeve. This is something I would love to see people to do is pause for just a second before you call and say, hey, do you guys need me to call for an ambulance? Do you need me to call for a tow truck? Just find out what help they need before you just call it in as you drive by and have no information other than there's a car on the side of the road and I don't know why. That, I mean, great. You called it in, and I, once again, it's better than not having anybody call it in. But once again, take a few seconds, pause, say, hey, do you need an ambulance? Do you need something? Who knows? Maybe they could use your help. And, you know, what little help you could give them might be just a warm car while they're waiting for a police car to come or whatever else. So just think about that kind of thing. Once again, it's my personal pet peeve. And I'm not discouraging people from calling stuff in. I'm just asking, try to stop and ask if what specific help they need. That way we can get the correct help to them quickly versus trying to guess and getting the wrong help to them and having to wait longer for them to get the right help. So I've said that was one of the things, one of those three things that I wanted to talk about. And we actually had, I've been on a lot of situations, and it happens more and more all the time. People are unwilling to stop and help somebody in need, or, you know, potentially in need, and, you know, they'll just call it in. So I'd like to see maybe people be a little bit more willing to lend a helping hand to somebody else. I mean, it's winter time. If somebody gets in a car accident, chances are their car is not going to be running, and they might not have been dressed to be in the winter weather because they were going to be in their car the whole way. So maybe having a warm car to sit in for 15 minutes till the cops get there would be a helpful thing for that person. Somebody to talk to, make them feel a little bit better. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do to help somebody without actually having to know any kind of first aid. Just being there, having a warm car, being somebody that will be willing to listen to them. I mean, it might be somebody who's just scared. They just rolled their dad's car and they're like, oh no, now what do I do? Dad's going to kill me. Well, no, he's not going to kill you, of course, but just being there to listen to them. So it's not like you have to know first aid. And yeah, it's going to take some time out of your day, but you're going to help somebody else who's going to appreciate that little bit of time you gave out of your day in order to help the person who needed the help. And, you know, realistically, you'll probably feel a little bit better about it yourself too. You'll be like, you know, I might not have done a lot, but I did something to help that person. It made their bad day just that much better, because you can't get much worse than, you know, getting in a car accident. It sucks. Your car gets damaged, and depending on how bad it is, your car might be totaled, might be your only vehicle. It's a bad, stressful situation, and every little person who stops and helps, you know, it's really appreciated, because it's like, wow, people care about me, and that makes me feel better.
Milton?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I wanted to say,
Milton, you know what would be great?
Wait, no. Since you're down here, it would be really great if you could just sort of
take care of the cockroach problem we've been having in here.
No, that's really not my job, and I haven't received my
phone. For now, why don't you go ahead and get yourself a flashlight and a can of pesticide and crawl back.
Bill, you need the upstairs right away. We got a big problem. Big. Some major glitch in accounting. A lot of money missing. We've got an investigator here.
Yeah. Once again, that's actually Bill Lombard from, what movie would that be? Office Space. There we go. So there's this, if you're a reader of FARC.com, F-A-R-K.com, they put up a whole bunch of newspaper headlines from around the world. The contributor will write their own, headlines, so to speak. And they'll usually take what the article is about and you know, make some sort of pun along with it or something like that. There's certain, like, running jokes in there that if you read it for a while, you'll start catching on to. But there's this one, and one last thing is that you can tag the article how you'd like. So let's say there's an article about something that was just stupid. Like, for instance, one of them that was on there was about the fact that there's this principal at this elementary school who is actually not allowing kids to play tag anymore. You can't play any kind of activities where you physically touch somebody else. And as a matter of fact, you're only allowed to physically touch them if you're actually helping them in a first aid situation. So the principal has taken away this ability. And the article was tagged as quote unquote asinine. And then they have ones that are for satire, humor. They have one called Florida because, you know, Florida is Florida and it gets its own tag. You have one for a hero. So there was an article about a man about 7 years ago jumped into the San Francisco Bay and saved the lives of two people whose car had gone into the water. And he just recently went into a burning building to save his friend's dog. And he ended up getting burns over more than half of his body. And he's in really bad shape right now in the hospital, a drug-induced coma. Doctors are like, well, it's a 50-50 chance. But the whole entire article is, you know, is tagged as a hero because the guy saved other lives, all that kind of stuff. Then there's the articles that one called Scary on and on and on. You should check it out. It's a fun little site. It has some pretty neat news articles from all over the place. And you can really find some interesting stuff out there because you have, you know, thousands of people all over the world scouring every news source they can to find stuff. And there's actually some really cool I've seen some really cool art photos on there. Some chalk art where a guy using chalk and the sidewalk made some just outstandingly awesome, almost realistic looking depictions. There's a whole bunch of other images you'll find on there too. So it's a fun site, but there's this article that really caught my attention. It was labeled as a hero article, and it was about a Marine who got seriously, seriously injured in Iraq, and how his fiance stood by him and still married him. There was a photo of this guy and this lady, and he's wearing his Marine's uniform, and she's wearing her wedding dress. And when you saw the photo of this person, you were blown away by how badly he was disfigured. He essentially a bomb hit right next to him. He took almost the full brunt of it, severely burning his face, his hands, his legs. You know, he lost a hand, lost fingers from another hand. He had such severe disfiguring injuries on his face. A lot of people would be like, they were, the comments that people were leaving were about how it was great this lady is standing by him, and that you know, it was just amazing. Anyway, if you want to look up this story, it's actually a pretty interesting story. It's a guy named Ty Ziegel, Ziegel, Z-I-E-G-E-L. He recently did get married to his wife, and he lives in a small town back home where he came from. And there's a 2-page article about the whole entire thing. They met at high school. They had some photos of him while he was in high school and before he went off, and you know, afterwards. And it was just, when you saw the picture, it was the most amazing thing to see, because it was such, the photo itself was just amazing, because you had this, the look of the bride that was just so stoic, and the guy almost expressionless, because there wasn't really much ability to have many expression, and him sort of looking at his bride, holding her hand, and it was so amazing, the whole entire thing. And a lot of the people who were commenting on it were pretty, you know, a lot of them were heartbroken by it, just by the fact of, not necessarily heartbroken, but maybe heartwarmed by it or something like that. Essentially, they were amazed that, A, she went through with it. And a lot of people were like, you know, nobody would have blamed her if she had called it off. But they were just amazed that she went ahead and carried out with it and everything. And it is a really great story. You should, if you have the opportunity, search on Ty Ziegel, Ziegel. And you'll probably find several articles about him now. It's becoming a little bit of a story. And it's just, like I said, it's an amazing story. You should take some time and read it. And if you have the opportunity to see the photo I'm speaking of, if you go to FARK.com, F-A-R-K.com, and scroll down, I think it was posted 2 days ago, and take a look for it. It has a hero tag, and take a look at the photo. You'd be pretty amazed by what you see. So, on a totally unrelated note, but still in the medical field, I guess, there's a show that I was sort of on when I turned on the TV for the noise as I was doing some cooking in the kitchen. And this lady was getting a nose job, and people were like, why are you getting a nose job? You don't need a nose job. And her response was like, well, I'm doing it for me. I don't care what other people think. And I was like, that actually seems sort of ironic that she would say something like that, because if you think more deeply into it, which maybe it was due to the fact of how late it was and how tired I was. But to me, this made sense last night, and we'll see how well it goes over today. But so hear me out on this. The reason why she feels that she needs a nose job would probably be that she feels that her nose isn't pretty by standards of what? People, by the society. So we as a society say, that's an ugly nose because it's too big, too round, too flat, too wide, too narrow, too short, too long, whatever. And that's just not a perfect nose. A perfect nose is this, and you don't have it. You know, and most people could probably look at their nose and say, well, mine's not a perfect nose, but it's mine. So, but you have a situation where the people, have decided what is pretty and what is not pretty. And now she wants to get a nose job because she wants to do it, even though people are saying, no, your nose is fine, it's okay. She's saying, forget them. I'm doing it for me, which is sort of ironic, because would she really be doing it if the people to begin with hadn't said your nose is ugly? So realistically, is she doing it for herself, or is she doing it because she's trying to fulfill this image that people have of a pretty nose? So I don't know if you know where I'm going with that. I hope I made that clear. I don't know how much more clear I can make it than that. But, you know, the overall idea is that society has set a standard on what is pretty. She's trying to live to that standard to make herself feel better. And while she's trying to live to the standard, she's actually saying, oh, no, I'm not listening to them. It's all for me. But you're only doing it for me because you feel that you have to live up to the standard that somebody else has put into place. So really, you're living up to these people that you're saying you're not listening to begin with.
Hi, Milton. What's happening? I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead and move your desk again. So no. If you could go ahead and get it.
We already asked Milton to move his desk. That's not very nice of us. Let's see what else we have going on.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Now, that's a good one right there. I wish I could say that to my boss without getting fired sometimes, but I would never do that because I love my work. I would never not go there. The 2007 benefit product. Wow, I totally started that one wrong. Let's try that one all over again. The 2007 benefit production of the Sorry, I'm going to try that again. It's almost like that day that Tom was here in the studio with me, and I could not, for the life of me, say something about acoustic something. I kept on saying it incorrectly. And I remember the one day that I read something like this last year, and I kept on saying the word incorrectly, and I could not correct myself. I could not do it right. When I try to do it on the air, if I read it in my mind, I get it right every time. So I'll try it one more time. And I'll try it with my announcer-sounding voice. The 2007 benefit production of The Vagina Monologues will take place February 23rd and 24th at 8 p.m. and on February 25th at 2 p.m. in Dagey Hall's Jones Theater. This year's theme is Reclaiming the Peace. It is a way to make the connection between anti-violence efforts and V-Day activists and the desire for peace and an end to an armed conflict around the world.
That's where I saw the leprechaun.
Right, a leprechaun.
He told me to burn things.
That was Ralphie and Bart Simpson from The Simpsons. The ASWSU and WSL. WSL, I did say that correctly. It just didn't sound right. Let me try that all over again. I'll always start over if I don't think I did it right because I want to do it perfect. The ASWSU and WSL committee are organizing Coug Day at the Capitol on February 25th and 26th in Olympia, Washington. It is a weekend dedicated to learning about the legislature process and getting involved in politics. Applications are at Annex Room 101 or online at the ASWSU website. Applications are due February 9th. For more information, contact Heather Rogers at 425-922-6579. And I did read that one correctly the second time through. It is learn about the legislature process. And it is Coug Day at the Capitol on February 25th and 26th. More information, Heather Rogers, 425-922-6579 or the ASWSU website. The Visual Performing and Literary Arts Committee at the College of Liberal Arts at Washington State University presents Australian playwright and screenwriter Lewis Nora. He will be here in Pullman on February 15th, speaking at the Dagey Hall at 6:30 p.m. and the performance of The Golden Age at 8 p.m. Then on the 16th, he will hold a Q&A session at noon in Avery Hall's Bundy Reading Room, following by a screening of Cosi in Todd Hall Room 216 at 2 p.m. Had a bad weekend? Need legal counseling? Student Legal Services at WSU is happy to help. Student Legal Services is a student-run organization that provides free legal advice to students. So if you need help, stop by their office in Annex Room 305. They are open Monday through Thursday from 9 to 5 and Friday from 9 to 1. Would you like to support the award-winning Pullman High School Orchestra or just send a loved one a little special something for Valentine's? Then send a valid tune. To place an order, call Catherine, 208-596-9347, or send an email to valentunes@hotmail.com. And once again, that phone number is 208-596-9347, or email valentunes, V-A-L-E-N-T-U-N-E-S, valentunes@hotmail.com. KZUU DJs, Republic Service announcements like what you heard every hour. If your club or nonprofit organization wants us to read a PSA about you, come to our office in Room Smith Gym, 126B, or fill out a form online located under the staff button and email it to psa@kzuu.org. For more information, call our office, 335-2208. And yes, I did do that one a little bit wrong. It's not in Room Smith Gym. It's in Smith Gym Room 126B. That's where our studio is. Come by, fill out a form, let us do your PSA. I'll try not to butcher it. You're listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym.
You know, I went to the McDonald's in Shelbyville on Friday night.
A McWhat?
A McDonald's restaurant. I never heard of it either, but they have over 2,000 locations in this state alone.
Must have sprung up overnight.
You know the funniest thing, though? It's the little differences.
Example?
Well, at McDonald's, you can buy a Krusty Burger with cheese, right? But they don't call it a Krusty Burger with cheese.
Get out. Well, why do they call it?
A quarter pounder with cheese.
Quarter pounder with cheese? Well, I can picture the cheese, but Do they have crusty, partially gelatinated, non-dairy, gum-based beverages?
Mm-hmm. They call them shakes.
Shakes. I don't know what you're getting.
Well, I know what I'm getting. Some donuts. Help me out of the booth, boys.
And that last sound right there was where they had to puncture the seat he was sitting in order for it to deflate so the rather large and rotund Chief Wiggum can get out of his booth in order to go get a donut, which I think they're making fun of cops there by him going to get a donut, right? So, anyway, there's a couple more subjects that we're going to have coming up. Like I said, we got Jerry, and we might have one other person. Batman ought to be calling sooner or later, I hope. There's a couple things on the Palusatix.com website that I was hoping we'd get a chance to speak about. And so there's this situation where a person decides, let's see, how can I do this? I want to do it in a very sensitive way, but I'm not a very sensitive person, so it might not work. I guess I've said it before like this, and I'll say it again. It might be the easiest way to say it, but suicide is a long-term solution to a short-term problem. There's a lot of issues that people might have in their life that it's not an option to kill yourself. And I could go on with a long rant about this. More or less, I wrote this long paper about it one time. And more, the bottom line was is that if you hate everything that's going on right now and you just want to get away from everything and that's the whole point of doing what you're going to do, why not just drop everything and move to a whole different country or at least a different part of the country that's 100% foreign to you? Because you might say, well, what about all my stuff? Well, you're leaving your stuff behind one way or the other, so you might as well just leave it and go. Or maybe take $100 so you could get a cab ride when you get to the new city where you're going to live. But the point is, if everything that you have going around you at this point in time is enough to cause you grief, why not just drop everything and go to a new location? Because maybe someday down the road, things will get a little better, and you can go back to your loved ones where you you choose the solution that is the long-term solution for the short-term problem. You'll never have that opportunity to go back. You'll never have that opportunity to go, oh, you know, that was sort of hasty. I was being a little hasty there. I probably shouldn't have done that. Well, too late. You've done it. You're stuck. You've got to live with it. So, you know, I know you guys love the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat. So I'm going to have to play him. I tricked you. You thought I was going to start playing it right there, but I wasn't. I'm actually debating on what song I want to play. There's so many of them that I have. And, you know what? This might be the song I want to play right here. As a matter of fact, I'll give it a shot and see if this is my favorite of the favorites. Actually, Local Gringos Like to Party is one of my favorites, but it's actually not on this CD, I don't think. But I have it on my other CD. We'll see what happens. But, oh, man. You have the favorite of the PES. The Reverend. Reverend Horton Heat. This song, my fan. This is that song that he always sings where I have to jump in and say, don't do drugs, marijuana is bad, okay, blah, blah, blah. Every time he says marijuana, it's thinking that drugs are bad. Don't do drugs. That was the favorite of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat.
That's the third cow this month. At this rate, all my cattle are gonna die before the winter's through. Mm-hmm. This is nothing out of the unusual. Cows turn themselves inside out all the time.
People have been saying they've been seeing UFOs around.
UFOs?
Yeah, and Black Army CIA helicopters and trucks.
That is the silliest thing I've ever heard.
What was that?
That was a pigeon.
Let me visualize for you. That was actually two Black Army CIA helicopters that flew over our officer Barb Brady's head. And, of course, he tried to downplay it as being mosquitoes. But they weren't.
It's 8 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 9 o'clock in Denver. It's 10 o'clock in Chicago.
In Baltimore, it's 6:42.
Okay, I don't know why I had that one on the CD. Maybe it's because they were backwards or something like that, and they gave the wrong time.
Hi, we're not in right now to take your call, but if you'd like to leave us a message, please press pound, press 3, then dial your name, then press 6 and dial your number, then press star, press 69, ask for extension 4443, then leave your name and message. If you want to leave your number and the time you called, please press star twice, bark like a dog, spin in a circle, press 1 26 times, and wait for the beep.
Okay, that wasn't very
Hello, funny. This is the answering services answering service. The answering service that normally supplies answering services to the system is supplying services to a sister system through a separate circuit. Since the other system is supplying services on a separate circuit, we're supplying the answering services that the other system normally provides. This sister system is ready to serve as your answering service at the beep.
Wow. 335-2207, the PES and KZUU 90.7 FM. Yes, I am just playing around right now. I'm having a little bit of fun. I'm trying to keep myself awake. Reading the Evergreen a little bit today, there's some stuff in there sort of interesting. There was the civil right violation suit against several city Pullman police officers dismissed by a unanimous vote by the jury up in Spokane. A lot of years have gone by since the Top of China incident, and a lot of accusations of racism were being thrown around. Pretty ugly time. Probably not a very fun time for the people involved in it on either side of the situation. But you really have to. I really would have to argue whether there was racism involved or whether it was just an unfortunate situation where the best tool on the officers. Side at the time would have been, pepper spray. Unfortunately, a pepper spray is something that, as we probably saw up in the mall up in Spokane yesterday, I don't know if it was pepper spray for sure, but it sure sounded like it the way it was irritating eyes and whatnot. Essentially, you disperse that in an area, and it can cause irritation. That's the whole point. Is it's an irritant to the mucous membranes. It causes your eyes to water and sting a little bit. It might cause your nose to run. It's not fun. I mean, that's the point. Is that it's a compliance thing. But if you think about it, if an officer has to go hands on, meaning he uses his hands to subdue somebody, whether it be pushing them to the ground or hitting them or using armbar techniques or anything like that, there's actually a probability of a long-term damage coming to the person depending on, you know, how everything goes and how things fall out. And anytime you go physical force, there's a risk involved for everybody there, where if the officer has to do a lawful act of, say, arresting somebody, and the person is trying to not get arrested, well, there's, you know, obviously a lot of options. Shooting them is not an option. You can't just pull out a gun and shoot a guy because he says, no, I'm not going to let you arrest me. That's a little excessive. I would agree at that point that would be excessive. If you say you're under arrest and I say no and you shoot me, that's excessive. But at what point is pushing somebody to the ground and putting your knee into their face excessive? Or would it be nicer to spray them with a substance that after about 45 minutes, all pain goes away and there's no lingering effects? Where if you drive me into the ground, I might get a cut on my face that leaves a permanent scar. So really, is it better to use a pepper spray solution versus a hands-on solution? Would everybody have been happy if, rather than pepper spray being used, which was something that unfortunately got into the system and got spit around all over the place and caused some side effects, and that is an issue of using this substance, is you have the over effect of the spray that goes and hits a few extra people that you weren't intending for it to hit. Yeah, it's frustrating. You don't want that to happen, but you don't. Is getting pepper sprayed better than getting hit with a baton on your shin or getting pile-drived into the ground? I mean, what would you prefer? In a lot of ways, I would prefer to get pepper sprayed than to have my face driven into the ground and a knee on top of it while I'm being arrested. Well, I'd rather not be arrested to begin with, but that's beside the point. So the situation then comes out, well, you only sprayed us because of our race. And it's frustrating that there's this whole issue of race brought up every time that something happens where a law enforcement act has to take place. The situation there, you had some people claiming, no, there was no fight. The officers came in and they just wanted to spray us because we were of a racial minority. Then you got the other side saying, no, there was a fight. That's why you guys were called to begin with. And the cops got there and say, yeah, there was a fight because we got there, A, because we were called there for it, and B, because we got inside and saw the fight happening. So, you know, there's the two sides to the story, and you have to question, A, why would they have been called in the first place unless the fight was going on and somebody called it in, because they wouldn't have been there otherwise. And B, when they got there, the cops aren't just going to run out and say, oh, let's spray a whole bunch of pepper spray on everybody because it would be fun. You know, you might think they do that, but that's not true. I think that's it's not a fair statement. We actually have very good officers in Pullman. You might be pounding your head on the phone and disagreeing wholeheartedly with me right now. And my phone number is 335-2207 if you want to debate that point with me. But I believe we have good officers here in Pullman, and we are lucky to have the ones here that actually they understand in a lot of ways students and the kinds of things students do, and they actually let a lot of stuff roll off their backs and put up with a lot of stuff that you don't necessarily put up with in other places. It's almost like when somebody comes to Pullman, while they're at Pullman, they sometimes think that anything goes. They could do whatever they want. They could park on curbs and sidewalks and grass, but they would never do that at home, but it's okay to do it here. They'll leave party rubbish everywhere, leave the, you know, couch on the front porch, and that's okay because you're in Pullman. And it's interesting, and if somebody tries to enforce the rules or laws, then you get mad. And first off, you probably wouldn't be doing that kind of behavior back home. And secondly, just because you're in Pullman doesn't mean that you can start just doing whatever you want with no paying attention to neighbors or paying attention to rules, laws, or anything else like that. Unfortunately, our officers are put in a position where they have to enforce some unpopular rules and laws. You know, not very many college students are big fans of the fact of the MIP laws. Well, the officers have to enforce it. It's part of the laws. There's probably not a lot of people who are big fans of the idea that there's noise complaints where somebody can call you in for having too loud of a party. But that's a fact of life. We have noise complaints. The cop, when somebody calls it in, the officer has to react. The officer has to go out and deal with that noise complaint that was called in. And they don't really have much of a choice in that matter. So getting mad at the officer is not a very fair thing, because all he's doing is enforcing the law. And realistically, you're the one making such a ruckus that it's keeping your neighbors up and causing them to feel that they need to call the police. Now, you might say, well, my neighbor's mean and they call the police for anything at all, and that's just the way they are. Well, that sucks. I'm sorry that you lived in a bad situation. Maybe you next school year you'll move to a different neighborhood where the neighbors aren't so hardcore on you. But once again, the neighbor has a right to complain, and the officer has to follow up on it. It's not like the officer can turn his head the other way. He's sworn in to uphold the law, so don't blame him. You're the one who's making the noise, and it's your neighbor who's calling you in. Really, once again, I say it over and over and over and over and over again. You need to look in the mirror. And anybody, I would love to see anybody call up and debate this point with me, 335-2207. you need to look in the mirror first before you start complaining and before you start pointing fingers at anybody else. You need to look in the mirror. I was listening to the news today, and they were talking. They did that whole little teaser thing, and they were teasing you on a story of our food supply or our food and how there seems to be more people getting sick from some foodborne illnesses. And they said, why isn't the government doing more to protect you? And I just want to say, look in the mirror. Why aren't you doing more to protect you? Why don't you make sure the meat is well cooked? Why don't you make sure that you don't cross-contaminate food? Don't cut your salad right where you just patted out your hamburgers. That's not a good idea. Look in the mirror. Look at yourself. There are certain things that the government is there for. There are certain things that the government's not there for. They're not mom. They're not dad. They're not there to make sure that every ill that you have is taken care of by the government. You need to help yourself before the government's going to be there to help you. We are not so helpless. Well, we're getting to the point, but we are not so helpless where we need the government to do what we should be doing for ourselves. And to say, well, what's the government doing to protect us? Stop with that. What are you doing to protect yourself? If you really care that much and you just don't want to, you're so concerned over the supply and you're unwilling to do anything like cooking food thoroughly and on and on and on, maybe grow your own vegetables and fruits and you know what's getting put on it. Maybe raise a rabbit or two or become a vegetarian, only grow stuff, living things that can't run and you kill, that kind of thing. The point is, why are we always saying, what's the government going to do to protect me from everybody else and protect me from myself? We need to look in the mirror. I think that's my theme. It seems like every year I have a theme. And a couple years ago, my theme was zero tolerance is zero common sense. Which is so true, if you think about that. Zero tolerance is zero... Oh, geez. You know what? I'm going to get into a rant here. And before I do, I've got to do my top of the hour stuff. I'm going to go ahead and stand by for just a minute. I'm going to get right back into that. This is the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM. Listening to KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. This is the PES. The SWSU and WSL committee are organizing Coug Day at the Capitol from February 25th through the 26th in Olympia, Washington. It's a weekend dedicated to learning about the legislature process and involved in politics. Applications are in Annex Room 101 or online. ASWSU website. Applications are due February 9th. For more information, contact Heather Rogers at 425-922-6579. The Visual, Performing, and Literary Arts Committee at the College of Liberal Arts at Washington State University presents Australian playwright and screenwriter Lewis Norah. He will be in the Pullman. He will be in Pullman on February 15th, speaking at Dagey Hall at 6:30 p.m. with the performance of The Golden Age at 8 p.m. And then on the 16th, he will hold a Q&A session at noon, Avery Hall, Bunny Reading Room, followed by the screening of Cosey and Todd Hall, Room 216 at 2 p.m. No, we're not there yet. I promised I was going to get into my rant because I need to. I'm at the point where I think a rant is very important, but also very important is this. That's right. On the phone, we have the one and only Batman, the protector of Pullman, Tom Forbes. Tom, Hi. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Scotty?
I'm doing pretty good. I could be doing a lot better, but I can't complain. I'm living. I'm breathing. How are you doing?
A little hoarse. You'll have to bear with me. But other than that, pretty well.
Good. Yeah, I was going to say, you sound a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, there's some kind of creeping crud going around our house here. So we've been taking turns being hoarse here lately. So
oh, fun times.
So now it's my turn.
Oh, did you just on a total unrelated side note? Did you go to the WSU Cougar basketball game on Saturday?
No, I did not.
Okay. The only reason why I was asking is because the Pullman High School little tykes were out there doing a basketball game at halftime, and I was wondering if your kid was out there again this year.
No, he's actually playing middle school basketball now, so
okay.
I don't think they did anything for that. So
no, it was definitely little guys.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I was just because I remember, I think it was last year your kid was out there, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So what do we got today, Tom?
Well, breaking news, hot off the wire.
Oh.
We talked last week about the defenders of small town Chelan were threatening to continue to have the Walmart there shut down unless Walmart ponied up $5 million plus legal expenses and a 10% cut of the sales tax revenue for the next 10 years.
Oh, that sounds fair.
Yeah. So, surprisingly, Walmart or the city of Chelan weren't willing to sign up for that type of extortion. And so they went ahead with their motion today to have the certificate of occupancy for the store revoked by the court. And news just in from Chelan, the judge in the Chelan Superior Court refused their motion, and Walmart will be allowed to stay open.
So is there a next step for this this extortionist group?
Well, who knows? I mean, you know, we've asked that question a million times in Pullman. You know, is there a next step? And there always seems to be a next step. I guess, you know, when you're dealing with the judicial process, as long as you have enough money, there always seems to be a next step. So I don't know. You know, the store is going to stay open. The judge said that she would allow the store to stay open while the city resolved the zoning problems that caused the building permits to be declared invalid. So at this point, it doesn't really seem to me that the defenders of small town Chelan, what a misnomer, but that they would have much of a recourse after this. But you never can tell. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news.
Yes.
Good news that that some extortionists elsewhere in Washington have lost out. And even better news is that 200 people in Chelan get to keep their job. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, actually, that was sort of funny. I was reading something about how I'm trying to remember. I think it was the group that what is it, Stove or Stowe, Michael Stowe or something like that. You sent me the email about him.
Acorn.
No, it was a guy who was.
Oh, Mike Stowe. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I keep hoping we'll be able to get him on the show.
Yeah. I was reading some of the stuff that you had sent me, and I was looking at this one site, and they were talking about how they're talking about suing the defenders of small town Chelan for lost wages.
Yes.
And I found that really ironic that this group is, you know, small town Chelan is always arguing that there's all these issues with wages, and they are almost going to get sued over that exact situation. So thought that was pretty. I think that would have been ironic, especially if they had argued at any point along the way, well, that's not fair. That's too much money, you know?
Right.
It's like, what do you mean it's too much money? According to you, that's just not enough.
Yeah, $5 million. Yeah, that was pretty outrageous. And so we'll continue to follow developments there. Also, if you go to Palousatix.com today, you'll see just some more information about you've been talking about it here lately, and it's certainly been very much in the news as of late. All the new business that's coming in. You know, we saw an article last week about what Dwayne Brelsford his plans for a lot near Walmart are. You know, a 10-acre, I believe it was a 10-acre spot on South Grand Avenue that he had plans for retail development there. We've talked before. You've talked before. You, I think, were the one that actually broke the story about Pullman Building Supply going into the lot there next to Walmart.
Right.
There's been other developments on Bishop Boulevard. There's a Crimson Village that's under construction now on mm-hmm. the, I guess you'd say, the west side of Bishop Boulevard or north side of Bishop Boulevard. I'm not exactly sure which it was.
Actually, I think that would be considered
side,
east.
Anyway, the side down there, the side closest to Crimson and Gray.
Right.
So, you know, we've seen all these stories, you know, and all of it just flies in the face of, you know, the accusations that are made by the opposition that Walmart will drive out business and lower employment. And, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, it's obviously booming. And Dwayne Brailsford has actually said twice now that the reason it is booming is because of Walmart. And that's why people are showing interest. And if you go to PaloozaTix.com, you'll see there's even further evidence of that. I linked to a commercial real estate website. And on that commercial real estate website, there are three properties on Bishop Boulevard that are being offered for sale. Two of them are on the side that Walmart is located on. And, in fact, I think they're owned by the same company that sold the land to Walmart. I think it's the S&W Land Company. And then the lot that's across from Walmart, the vacant lot that's beside Jiffy Lube, I think everybody that drives on Bishop Boulevard knows what I'm talking about there. There's kind of a... Not a huge lot, but a relatively medium-sized vacant lot that's beside Jiffy Lube.
Mm-hmm.
And so those three properties are all for sale. And it's interesting because, you know, the property description, you know, on the website hypes the fact that that it is going to be, you know, across from Walmart, and it's a high-traffic area, and it's the fastest-growing commercial area in Pullman. And you always hear about how Walmart is going to drive down property values, but you certainly couldn't tell it to look at Bishop Boulevard. The going rate, if you want to buy property on Bishop Boulevard and get in on the boom, the going rate is approximately $435,000 an acre.
That's incredible. That is a ton of money.
Almost $500,000 per acre. That's pretty good. That's pretty good property value, I would say.
Yes, and I think that goes with what Glenn said and of why they're able to finally going to be able to tear down that old bowling alley that has the asbestos situation.
Yeah.
It's finally going to be worth it to tear that down
because
to use that land.
Obviously, property values have skyrocketed anywhere on that end of town, especially commercial property. Any kind of commercial property on that end of town is going to be highly valued. And what does that mean to us as citizens? Well, if the property is valued at nearly $500,000 an acre.
That's some tax money.
That's some pretty decent property tax money every year that comes in. You're exactly right.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, the more valuable that land is due to the kind of developments that are going on there and the fact that people are going to want to get in on it, the more people and the more scarce it becomes, which it's becoming scarce because Bishop Boulevard is only so big.
Exactly. I think that was even mentioned on the website is that, you know, there's not much left and it's going fast.
Yeah. And so it's going to be one of those things where it's like you want to get in on it. It's like now's the time. You wait. It's just going to become more and more valuable, more and more expensive to get. And, you know, I know what's interesting is the new Remax building is getting built right next on the other side of Jiffy Lube between Jiffy Lube and Zeppo's.
Right.
You got the Remax building going in there, so I thought that was pretty interesting that you got a real estate agent going right in there on Bishop Boulevard to, you know, and I'm just wondering if this is the kind, I mean, I don't think they have an acre of land at that location, but I can't imagine paying, you know, I mean, even if it's half an acre, $200,000 for, you know, a little bit, it's like, that's, it's hard for me to imagine. You know, there's acreage you can buy in Colfax, which it's Colfax, but still, there's acreage down there. I think when I bought my acreage down there, I was paying less than $5,000, $5,000 an acre. So this is about $430,000 an acre more than, you know, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, and of course, it's zoned commercial, so that makes a difference, I think, probably in the price. But still, that's pretty – I was pretty flabbergasted to see that. So, but
that's
again, that's good news for the residents of Pullman because people who aren't familiar with the way that the public school systems are funded in the state of Washington, the majority of funding for the Pullman School District comes from property tax levies. I'd say, I don't know, it's probably 80% or more. The, you know, money comes from the state, too, but most of the money comes from local property taxes that are here in Pullman and to a certain extent in Whitman County. And so that's good. Any time that we can increase the property tax base, and that's good news for our school system here in town.
It's very good news. And you were talking about some of the highlights and of one of the pieces of property, and their highlights were excellent visibility directly across from Walmart-owned land, fast-growing area, and high traffic count.
Yeah, outside of Pard, that's a selling point, to be across from Walmart-owned land.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, they're hyping that. It's like, why? Because, and that's the way it is in the real world. You know, once you step outside the ivy-covered halls of academe, in the real world, you know, when you have a business, you want to be near a big magnet, and there's no bigger magnet than Walmart, and that's why they're pitching it that way on a commercial real estate website.
It is interesting, too. I mean, you have, if you think about the people who are for Walmart and against Walmart, the people who are developers and business owners who want to come in, they want to be next to Walmart. They want the Walmart there. Because they realize, as we've talked about before, the whole reason, one of the biggest reasons I believe that the Hawkins development wanted to be right there where they're building is because they're going to be next to the mall.
Sure.
And they realize the mall is a magnet. It brings a lot of people in. There's a Walmart, there's a Staples, Office Depot, Hastings, there's a mall with all the other shopping all right there. It's a shopping area.
Well, yeah, and if you'd gone to the Hawkins website, you know, they had like a flyer on the development, and they had a map that showed all of the stores that were in proximity to the Hawkins site. I mean, so obviously they were pitching the fact, you know, as pitching it to other stores that would want to locate in the Hawkins development, you know, they were pitching the fact that there's all these other stores that were in close proximity. I mean, that was very important. That was an important selling point, was to, you know, they identified Walmart, they identified the mall, they identified that the Michaels was there and a Joann Fabrics and everything else. That's important.
And so they realize the value of that. They realize the value of having a shopping destination already and getting in on that versus having an out of the way location that people may or may not go to.
Right.
It's a lot easier to stop by a business when you're in the area going, oh, I wonder if they have what I need, versus I'm not going to drive all the way out there just to see if they might have what I need. You know, I mean, it's the convenience factor on top of, when you go shopping, it's sort of nice to go to one location and not drive to four or five different far-off locations to get all your shopping done.
Sure.
If you could do it all within, you know, a couple block radius, cool beans.
Or even better, one store, because, you know, as I blogged about last week, you know, there was a survey that was done last year, and 46% of shoppers prefer to do one-stop shopping.
Wait a minute. I don't want to go shopping where I'm buying my vegetables and DVDs and laundry soap at the same place, Tom.
There's always the Moscow Food Co-op, Scotty.
And, of course, I was making reference to that.
And I'll bet the co-op even sells stuff besides food.
Oh, heavens.
I haven't been over there, but I bet they do.
They very well could. They might sell seeds to build food.
But I bet you can buy non-food things there, like batteries or things like that, I'm sure. Or cleaning products for your home. Come on.
It would make sense. It would. I mean,
maybe
really, I mean,
Walmart DVD, too. They might have those there also.
I might be in the minority of this on this one, Tom. But if, let's say I go to one of the large grocery stores here in Pullman, and there's a 50-50 chance of you guessing the right one since there's only two to choose from. But I go to one of the large grocery stores, and I'm doing my weekly shopping, so I'm buying, you know, this and that and everything else, and I realize I need to get, say, this piece of electronic equipment, maybe this book, and maybe one other item. Now, I could, after I'm done shopping at the store, run over to an electronics store, and then I could go and run over to a bookstore and get those other items. And they might even be cheaper, but I would be willing to pay a little bit more for the object in the store that I'm already shopping at, so I don't have to make additional trips.
Yes.
Well, the convenience
and
factor.
What's interesting is not only do 46% of Americans prefer one-stop shopping, stay tuned later this week. I will be blogging about a very interesting story of a survey that was done in Ellensburg at Central Washington University, and regular readers of the blog will know that I've used Ellensburg as a comparison to Pullman on many occasions, because, you know, Ellensburg is also a small town that that has a state university as its basic, you know, its largest employer. And also Ellensburg does not have a Walmart, although they do have a Fred Meyer, which, you know, puts them light years ahead of Pullman, but they do have a Fred Meyer. But there was a survey that was done of students at Central Washington University, and there's some very interesting results from that survey that I'll be discussing on the blog later this week.
I'll be looking forward to hearing that.
Sure.
And then I also saw on the blog there's a WCRP. Dinner?
Lincoln Day dinner, yes.
Yeah.
Sunday, October 25th. I mean, February 25th, gosh. Yeah, that would kind of defeat the Lincoln Day. Now, Sunday, February 25th.
You know, I thought I was... that's maybe what I saw. I saw if you pay before a certain date,
If you pay before February 17th, it's cheaper than if you pay at the door. Plus, space is limited also, so that's another consideration.
Okay. No, I was looking at this the other day, and I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. I should go. And I'm like, oh, wait, I can't go that day. I'm out of town. But I'm not out of town on the 25th, so maybe I should...
Yeah, it'll be good. Our Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers, it's now Rogers because she was married before the election last year. Now she's going by her married name.
Kathy Rogers.
He's a great guy, too, Brian Rogers, her husband. I've met him. He's a former naval aviator, and he's a great guy. And then also the Attorney General of the State of Washington, Rob McKinnon, will be there as well.
Do you know what they're going to be speaking about?
I do not. I wish I did, but I'm sure it'll be interesting.
For sure.
Yes.
For sure. And now one thing that was sort of interesting that I was seeing in the papers today that is sort of more of a national thing, but there's a new dollar coin coming out.
I had not seen that, no.
Yes, the...
Why will they think this will work after, like, the fourth or fifth time it's failed? I don't understand, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, you had, obviously, the silver dollars, the Eisenhower dollar, followed by the Susan B. Anthony, and then the Sacagawea. And, you know, as far as I was concerned, the Sacagawea dollar was such a politically correct attempt at making a coin. It was just like... It's ridiculous. It's first off, it's an ugly coin. Secondly, it's a dollar coin. I'm not in Canada. If I was in Canada, I'd be in Canada. But I'm not in Canada. I'm in America where I want paper dollar bills.
I thought metal money was on the way out, not coming back in. I thought they were considering trying to get rid of things like the penny and the nickel and things like that.
Well, I don't think they've talked about the pennies specifically because it actually costs more money to make a penny than a penny's worth.
Right.
Because of the copper base and everything, which is sort of funny.
People could just smooth out the tax system or their prices to where you wouldn't need pennies to pay for things.
Well, and that's what some people are arguing is that what they're worried about is, let's say something would cost 11 cents, stores would round it to 15. or, you know, if it was, say, instead of, you know, I mean, if you think about it, though, one thing that would be really cool about that happening is never again, ever again, would we see some store trying to charge you $9.99 for anything.
Right.
That's so annoying. They'd either have to make it $9.95, which they probably do, or they'd make it $10, which is really what you would have been paying anyhow.
Right.
But no, it was interesting that the whole trying to get rid of the penny thing. I mean, I had heard that years and years ago too, but from what it looks like, there's a lot of people who are not in favor of the penny going away. The nickel, I had heard, you know, they're like, well, just make the penny worth 5 cents and, you know, that kind of thing. And then on and on. But with the dollar coin, what they're doing is, and this might work as far as a collectible for people who like to collect coins, but I don't think it's going to be a daily circulation thing. Every 3 months, they're going to release a new presidential coin. So the first one's going to have Washington, and we're going to work all the way up through George Bush, or actually, I guess, Bill Clinton. I would assume George Bush Senior as well, or Junior as well.
Yeah.
But the idea is that every 3 months, a new coin will come out with the next president in line. And so, in some ways, this means Reagan will have a coin, finally. you know, some people had argued that he should be placed on the dime. So it will be interesting to see how the coins come out. And, you know, there's going to be some presidents who are like, this guy was a president? Who is this dude? he was an officer?
Taylor?
Yeah. And what's going to be really interesting, like I said, I could definitely see collectors going over this big time.
Sure,
you know,
the state quarter thing, I think, has been real popular with collectors.
Exactly. So you got the state quarter thing. So what's going to happen is that people are going to try to collect these $1 coins, but you're not going to see them spending them on a normal basis.
No.
So how are they going to collect them? Are they going to have to go to places that actually use them? Or are they going to demand people to use it as change in order to try to collect them? Or are they just going to go to, say, the post office, which usually has them, and their change machines and whatnot? But yeah, anyway, so it'd be interesting. It looked like on the image that I saw of it actually had like a Statue of Liberty image on the front is what it was looking like, and that didn't make sense. I would assume the front would be the president and the back would be the Statue of Liberty. So I don't know how they're going to do it, or if each coin is going to be different or right. What. But it would be pretty interesting to see what happens, because I was thinking, you know, if I was collecting those coins, what would I do when I got to presidents that I wasn't in favor of? Would I put their coin in backwards, knowing that I have it, but not having to see them?
I know. Well, I can't wait until we get to, you know, like Nixon and Bush, and see how people react to those, or Carter or something like that.
Yeah.
Those coins.
No, I always thought that there was a situation where you couldn't use a living person on a denomination of currency.
I wasn't. That's quite possible. I wasn't aware of that being a restriction, but I mean that very well could be.
Yeah, I wish I knew off the top of my head for sure, but I thought there was something that said you cannot be. I mean, you can't have a living being on
right.
The coinage. They have to be, you know, in honor of somebody who had died, which is why I think right after Reagan died, there was the push to try to get
right.
him on the dime.
Right. I've heard about those attempts before.
Right. So anyway, yeah, it will be sort of interesting to see how people take it. I just, you know, I personally don't like carrying change in my pocket. You know,
no,
if I have
think
change,
it'll be as big a flop as all the other.
Yeah.
You know, I think we ought to just go to where we're stamping the barcode on people's foreheads and just
ooh.
Get it over with.
Yeah. No. No. Actually, I could get into my whole privacy little thing going right about now. I mean, you're almost able to push buttons some. So, anyway, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'll be watching Pellucetix for your upcoming report on the survey results from our sister city of Wenatchee. No, excuse me, Ellensburg.
Yes.
See how they do with their information. And that is interesting that they have a Fred Meyer but not a Walmart.
And it took them 4 years to get a Fred Meyer. I mean, it's hard to imagine Fred Meyer inspiring controversy, but it did.
It inspired controversy?
Yes.
There? Really?
Yes.
I really wonder how it would do here in Pullman, if there would be a lot of controversy over a Fred Meyer coming in.
It's hard to imagine anything more benign than a Fred Meyer, but
yeah.
But then again, you can never tell.
That's for sure.
I can never tell what's going to get people set off. So,
well, what would be really interesting is if a target did try to come in, and all of a sudden a group formed to try to stop the target. That would be interesting. Well, I mean, geez, Tom, they're getting sued left and right. Therefore, we can't have them in Pullman.
Right.
I mean, anybody that gets sued, they can't come here anymore.
Now,
which means
I'm holding my breath on the anti-target group. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Starbucks. I think they're going to be getting protested here pretty soon. I'm sure.
Yeah, one lawsuit after another, but yet they continue to open stores at will. So.
Well, I think maybe the difference is who they donate money to in the backside, huh?
Yeah, it's all marketing.
Very true.
Okay, I'll talk to you next week. And
actually, I will not be here.
Okay, I won't talk to you next week.
Yes, I am going to be out of town.
Okay.
To the delight of thousands.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay.
Have a good day.
Yes, you too.
Have a good bye. Once again, that was the defender of Small Town Pullman. Batman himself, Tom Forbes. So, anyway, I'm sitting here reading the newspaper, and I was getting all hot and bothered under the collar about some of the things that we had going on as far as the Top of China thing. And then I started talking about how you had the situation where, you know, the cops used OC because it's better than actually using physical force, because realistically, using OC, nobody gets any kind of long-term injuries, where either the officer or the suspect could have long-term injuries in the case of a physical altercation. So then I moved beyond there, and I started talking about how the government's keeping us safe. You know, what is the government going to do to keep you safe? Well, obviously, they do a lot of stuff. They do a lot more than they ought to, as far as I'm concerned. And so I was talking about that, and then I started talking about how that's sort of my mantra of the year is look in the mirror. This year's mantra is look in the mirror, look in the mirror, look in the mirror, look at yourself. You're the one who makes a difference first and foremost beyond anything else. Before you start looking at anybody else for anything, you look in the mirror. You say, can you do something about this? Or what are you doing about this to make this a better situation? But until then, look in the mirror. Once you've looked in the mirror and once you've done everything you can to mitigate your own problem and you still need assistance, okay, start looking to friends. Ah, not government, friends. Okay, yeah, you have no friends. Sure, whatever. Okay, so you have no friends. Start looking for charities, depending on the kind of help you need. Or maybe it's time to then look at the government and say, hey, you know, I've done this, this, and this, and your regulations that you've been putting on are causing me these griefs, and I'm going to have to go through your process and go through the red tape in order to get what I need. Because anytime you allow the government to control something in your life, specifically money, they control a portion of your life. They take your money in order to give it back to you. But there are strings attached. You can't just get the money back. No. You've got to jump through their hoops. You got to play their game if you want to get your money back. That's why stopping the taxation is stopping the problem. Not getting the money back. Not working with your congressman to get what you want. No. Stop taxing me. I don't need you to tax me in order to give me my money back. So you get money back from the government, they put strings on it. You have to jump through their hoops. You have to fulfill their whims and desires. Look at highway funds. Anytime the federal government wants some sort of major change in a state government, all they do is go, let's see here. We're not giving you any more highway money. And you're like, oh, geez, we need that. So therefore, we bend and mold ourselves to every whim of the government in order to make sure that they don't take away the money that we need for the roads. And it's the government's way of holding things over the people's heads. And that's how they do it all over the place. You want this money? Then you'll do what we say. And the government is doing that. They're going to start doing this. The whole idea of the real ID Act, that is going to be a scary situation, my friends. You do not want this to happen if you value privacy. If you put your security above your privacy, well, that sucks because you're causing a lot of other people to lose their privacy. And realistically, you're not really getting security. It's an illusion. You might feel you're more secure, but you're not really more secure. How having a real ID, is that going to make us any more secure? Well, guess what? The people who flew the planes into the World Trade Center, they had real ID. They had state-issue ID cards. It's not like we didn't know who they were. We knew exactly who they were. It wasn't a matter of knowing who or who somebody wasn't. It was a matter of knowing what the heck they were up to. And guess what? There is a certain amount of freedom that we need to preserve in America. And, you know, unfortunately, some people are going to abuse their freedom, their privacy, their anonymity, and they're going to do something that's going to hurt other people. And in some ways, I have to say that that's the price of living in a free society. We are willing to take the risk of getting hurt by some lunatic in order to have what we have. There's so many things that we could do and give up in order to be more secure. But is it worth it? You could live in a jail, in a little jail cell, and you'll be really secure. But everybody will know everything about you. They'll control when you get up and when you go to bed, who you can communicate with, when you can communicate, what you can watch, what you can't watch, what you can read, what you can't read. You'd be secure. But is it any kind of life to live? No. You don't want to live a life like that. You want the freedom and security, and there's risk with it. With that liberty, you're going to have less, quote-unquote, security. But I'm going to argue, until I'm blue in the face, that you could give up all your liberties in order for this illusion, this feeling of security. But are you really more secure? Do you really think the government's going to stop every bad thing from ever happening to you if you give up all your freedoms and your anonymity and put your retinal scans and your DNA and your fingerprints in some database that they maintain? Do you think you'll be more secure that way? If you do, you're insane yourself. You're not going to be any more secure. Joe Blow, your next-door neighbor, could come over and shoot you. And guess what? We'll know who it is. That didn't make you any more secure now, did it? Well, I'm on a little rant. Let me rewind back just a hair. So you have this situation where this year's mantra is look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. My original one was zero tolerance equals zero common sense. It's unfortunate that I have to explain that because it should make sense to everybody. But the fact that we have zero tolerance laws show that there is little common sense left in a lot of people. Common sense is being breeded. I'm going to attribute this to Guy Smith. Guy Smith was an umpire with me back in the mid-90s, and he always said this, and it makes so much sense. Common sense is being bred out of society. You see it everywhere. Common sense is being bred out of society. We have these zero-tolerance rules, which are zero common sense. We say no weapons in schools, period. Okay. The rule is no weapons in schools. Now, what's a weapon? Well, we got to make a definition for weapon because we're having a zero tolerance, which means we're not going to allow any of it. We're not going to look the other way. We're not going to slap anybody on the wrist. We have zero tolerance. We're going to show them we care. We're going to show them that we're going to protect everybody with these zero tolerance rules. So what we're going to say is anybody who brings a weapon to school is going to get expelled. What's a weapon? A knife, a gun, nunchucks, chains, whips, sharp sticks. Well, this honor student brought a knife to butter his bread with. That's a knife. He's expelled. Well, we got zero tolerance. We said a knife is a weapon. You bring a knife to school, you get expelled. Well, where is the common sense there? It's not a knife that was meant to hurt somebody. It was a knife meant to spread butter. Or you have the case of the guy who brought a knife, not even knowingly, had a bread knife. He had a bread knife in the back of his truck after he helped his grandmother move. Fell out of one of her boxes, a bread knife in the back of his truck. Somebody walking around the parking lot, I believe it was a security guard, saw the knife, turned it in. And he gets busted for having a knife on campus. And zero tolerance came into effect. Well, we understand that A, it wasn't used as a weapon. B, nobody was injured or even threatened to be injured by it. C, it never really came into the school garage. I mean, into the school itself. It was back in the back of the truck. And it was a bread knife, which was definitely not going to be meant to cut and slash somebody. But we have zero tolerance and definitely, obviously, zero common sense. We're going to punish somebody because they had a knife in the back of their truck. And that's the bottom line. We're not going to look at the situation and say, this person did bad because they pulled it out on somebody and threatened them. And this person didn't do something bad because it was in the back of his truck after he helped his grandma move. How can you equate the two cases? The only way you could equate those is if you have zero common sense. You're not able to differentiate those two items. You have to use some sort of blanket rule called zero tolerance. And they have that with medications as well, and because it's drugs. You bring drugs to school, you're going to get expelled. Well, guess what? My aspirin, oh geez, suspend me, expel me now because I brought aspirin to school for my headaches. It's just a situation where My original one is zero tolerance equals zero common sense. I think I've explained it a little bit. I have, of course, my newest one, look in the mirror. What are you going to do for yourself? Not what is the government going to do for you? And I had a couple other ones along the way, too, that were fun and I could always rant about. And I think last night's catching up with me. I'm having a hard time remembering. But it seems to me it was something along the lines of, well, yeah, okay, here's another one. I didn't really rail on it as much, but it was. I can't even think of a neat little slogan, but it was about designer laws. I'm totally against designer laws. Designer laws are those laws that are created specifically for a specific situation that had happened once and they don't want it to happen again. Therefore, if it does, they got a law on the books that will stop that situation or that will punish that situation or that will rectify that situation. However, the problem there is you almost get into a zero common sense thing again. Maybe not quite zero, but close to zero. How about one common sense where you have a situation of you create a law that you tried to design for one very specific situation. Well, the problem is that that law, unfortunately, because we have lawyers in the world, can be applied to many, many situations, and it will have unintended side effects. So designer laws have unintended side effects. It will have things that you did not plan on happening that when you made it, you're like, well, logical people will understand this is the point of the law. However, guess what? We don't live in a logical society anymore. We have bred common sense out of society. We have lawyered ourselves to idiocy. We allow ourselves to be corralled by warning label after warning label after warning label. You have to disclaim everything you do. Otherwise, you might offend somebody. And that's another one. You have to choose to be offended. This is one that I always get arguments over, but I believe that you are not born offended to anything, that it's a learned item, that you have to choose something that you want to be offended by, and then you'd be offended by it. Therefore, you need to choose to be offended. You might not agree with any of those. You might agree with some of those. 335-2207, this is PES on KZUU 90.7 FM. And I only played one Reverend song today. And I know you guys want more than one Reverend song. And I might be willing to allow you to hear a second one. We'll see. So we have designer laws are bad. Zero tolerance and zero common sense. We have just the, what's this one? Oh, yes, that's right. It is the fact that you need to look in the mirror and find out what you're going to do to help yourself before you start looking at somebody else to see what they're going to do to help you. Because everything comes down to yourself and helping yourself. And you don't need to look at the government for anything because what's going to happen is that they're going to put demands on you that you're not necessarily going to want. You need to be able to help yourself. You need to be able to look in the mirror. When there's a problem, look in the mirror, help yourself. It's not that hard. And when you hear somebody next time say that the government's not doing enough to help this situation, you need to look at them and say, what have they done to help themselves to start with? What have their friends done to help them? Dead horse, big stick, here I go again. The whole Katrina fiasco. There's a Category 5 hurricane coming, and your city is 16 feet under sea level. Why are you waiting to ride it out? This is where you help yourself. This is where you say, okay, I've got to do something myself to protect myself. If I always wait for the government to come in and protect me, I might not live. Everybody complains that the government is full of bureaucracy, that the government is a bunch of idiots, and then you expect them to help you, and when they don't do it right, you're surprised. Oh, geez, the government didn't help me in the way I had expected, even though for the last 10 years I've been calling them a bunch of idiots. Well, duh. It's all bureaucracy, red tape. They have procedures. They have forms for everything. Think about all the forms they have. Everything, there's a form for it. There's a form for everything. And if there's not a form for it, well, guess what? You're going to stand in line a long time until they figure out they need a form for it and find the form and give you the form, fill it out in triplicate, have it signed, dated, notarized, and delivered to three different people. And each time you go to that person, they're like, oh, no, you're in the wrong office, and they'll send you to another one. That's the government that's supposed to be helping you. Or why don't you look at the news and say, oh, Category 5 hurricane, 17 feet under sea level, high hill. Hey, I might go there myself. I don't need the government. Hey, how about that? Help yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to do it for you. Because sometimes you ain't going to like the results of what happens when somebody else does it for you, whether it's them taking a lot of your money in order for them to do it for you, because it takes a lot of money to administer all these programs. Because think about all those triplicate forms. That costs a lot of money. Plus, you got to have all the people who will work the front desk, that will stamp your form, that will notarize your form, that will then push it up to their middle-level managers, who will then redistribute it out to the right person, who will then spend their whole day in the office going through the form, seeing that you didn't fill out line A2 correctly. Therefore, they're going to kick it back, and you're going to spend the next 3 months trying to correct this A2 line that you had incorrect, which really was only your middle initial. You didn't put your middle initial. You put your whole middle name. Well, guess what? Everything gets kicked. The problem is that people are looking at a bureaucracy to save them. You need to look at yourself. Look in the mirror. That's my motto for this semester. Look in the mirror. Help yourself before you worry about what somebody else is going to do to help you. Everything in your life will be better if you do that. When you get a bad grade in school, I bet you start complaining. You say, well, why did you give me this bad grade, Mr. Professor? Well, look in the mirror. Who's the one who maybe didn't study as good as he should have? Or maybe who's the one who didn't write the paper on time? Or who's the one that waited till the last minute and wrote the paper as quickly as possible and fudged the margins ever so slightly that you barely could tell and made the font ever so slightly larger, or used that special courier font in order to make that paper just 5 pages long? But you really didn't do a good job. You didn't do a lot of proofreading. You didn't do a really good paper, but you got it turned in on time. But you got a poor grade, and therefore it's the professor's fault. How many times did you go see the professor after class? How many times did you seek help from other people? If you've done nothing to assist yourself in getting a better grade in the class and you get a grade that you did not think you deserved, you need to look in the mirror first. Maybe the professor is being bad, and maybe you have done a really good job and he's out to get it. He has a vendetta against you. Well, then maybe you can start blaming the professor. But I would say the majority of our college students really need to look in the mirror first. Why are we getting bad grades? Why didn't study? Guess what? I stayed up last night and had a couple beers with my friends, played Mario Kart, and went to bed about 2 in the morning. Oh, geez. Well, guess whose fault is that? It's mine. I need to look in the mirror. I need to take responsibilities for the actions that I participate in. When I choose to do something that results in negative outcomes, it's me that I need to look at before I blame anybody else for those negative outcomes. The situation that we had where we have people who are getting arrested by the police. The police say, okay, you are under arrest. They have a lawful reason to arrest you. Well, guess what? Not everybody wants to get arrested. It's not the thing they were looking at doing when they woke up in the morning. They're like, well, let's see here. What do I got to do today? Feed the cat, take the laundry, get arrested. Well, no, that's usually not on the list of things you want to get done in that particular day. Well, sometimes it happens. You make a mistake. You get mad. You do something dumb. You get caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. You might get yourself arrested. Well, when the officer says you're under arrest, put your hands behind your back, and you decide, no, you're not going to arrest me, and you want to fight them, or you want to resist, well, guess what? That's not going to help your situation. At what point do you think, oh, by me resisting and fighting this officer, he's going to say, oh, yeah, you're right, I'm not going to arrest you? No, he's just going to bring a bunch of his friends, and then they're all going to arrest you. So when an officer says you are going to be put under arrest, what you need to do is you need to not fight him out on the street, because that's not going to change anything. The place where the fight needs to take place is the courtroom with your lawyer and the legal system. Because if you're fighting the cop out there, the only thing you're going to gain by doing that is additional criminal charges or some pain, one of the two. So you decide, okay, no, officer, even though I did something wrong where I need to get arrested, I'm going to be mad at you for trying to arrest me and uphold the law. And I'm going to get mad at you, and I'm going to try to push you away from me, and I'm going to maybe even hit you and kick you and try to run in order to be free. Well, guess what? When the cop pulls out a taser and hits you with it and you fall to the ground in pain because this taser's jolting 50,000 volts through you, well, guess whose fault it is? It ain't the cop's. It's yours. The cop sprays you with some pepper spray, and it gets in your eyes, and it makes it hurt and sting. And for the next 45 minutes, you have this pain about your face, and your eyes hurt, and your nose is running. Guess whose fault it is? Not the cop's. It's yours for resisting. When you do something wrong, you need to take responsibility for actions. You need to look in the mirror. That's what it's all about. When something goes wrong, the first person you need to blame, or you need to at least consider blaming, is yourself. And when we've gone beyond this, we've gone so far beyond this where we blame everybody else, So now we have all these designer laws being made in order to try to protect people from themselves. You have all these rules and warning labels on everything you can find in order to protect ourselves from ourselves. And once again, if we simply look in the mirror, if we simply take responsibility for our own actions, maybe we wouldn't need 10,000 warning labels. I don't know. Maybe you love living in a society full of warning labels. Maybe it makes you feel better that people care that much about you, that they're willing to warn you not to try to stop a chainsaw when it's running. Thank you. I'm glad you're smiling because those are real warnings. That's the problem. It's not like this is made up. Oh, by the way, I wanted to congratulate you. I hear you're like the person of the week on the Facebook Pullmanite group.
That was October.
Yeah, but you're still up there. Yeah, so, yeah, he's Ted's coming in next, and he's the, what is it, the man of the week? The
Pullmanite of the month.
The Pullmanite of the month for October, and he's been so good they've left it through November, December, and January, and now February. So, in about 5 minutes, you're going to have Ted, but right now you're going to have the favorites of the PES, the Reverend Horton Heat.